Good morning. Welcome to the church family of St. Linus. We extend a warm welcome to you and to our visitors as we worship together on the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Please see page 3 in the bulletin for the meetings this week. Please stand and join in prayer and song.
Of our fathers, living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts meet, cry with joy, whenever we hear that glorious word.
Lord Jesus, you raise us to new life. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you forgive us our sins. Christ, have mercy.
Mercy.
Lord Jesus, you feed us with your body and blood. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
The Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins. Bring us the life everlasting.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen, amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Let us pray. Father, through the obedience of Jesus, your servant and your Son, you raised a fallen world. Free us from sin and bring us the joy that lasts forever. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. As the Lord spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard the one who was speaking say to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have revolted against me to this very day. Hard of face and obstinate of heart, are they to whom I am sending you? But you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord, and whether they heed or resist, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that a prophet has been among them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Are fixed on the Lord, pleading for his mercy. Our eyes are fixed on the Lord, pleading for his mercy. To you I lift up my eyes, who are enthroned in heaven, as the eyes of servants are on the hands of their masters. Our eyes are fixed on the Lord. pleading for his mercy. As the eyes of a maid are on the hands of her mistress, so are our eyes on the Lord our God, till he have pity on us. Our eyes are fixed on the Lord, pleading for his mercy. Have pity on us, O Lord, have pity on us, for we are more than sated with contempt. Our souls are more than sated with the mockery of the ignorant, with the contempt of the proud. Our eyes are fixed on the Lord, pleading for his mercy.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, that I, Paul, might not become too elated because of the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, an angel of Satan, to beat me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. I will rather boast most gladly of my weaknesses, in order that the power of Christ may dwell with me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In one of his more famous autobiographical passages, the Apostle Paul in our second reading today says that I, Paul, might not become too elated. I wish I had that problem more often. That I, Paul, might not become too elated, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Three times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. For when I am weak, Paul says, then I am strong. What is this thorn in the flesh that Paul describes? Some say it was Paul's many persecutions and tribulations that came as a result of preaching the gospel. In the same book, in a different place, Paul describes this. 5 times I have received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. I recall the words of St. Teresa. I says, Lord, if this is the way you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few. 3 times I was shipwrecked. For a day and a night I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers and sisters, and toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, hungry and thirsty, often without food, cold and naked. I could see that would be a thorn in the flesh. Others speculate that it was some chronic condition, and guesses are things like epilepsy, migraine headaches, malaria, depression. Some say he had partial blindness, a severe eye condition. Others speculate it was an embarrassing speech impediment. Some say Paul was a stutterer. He himself says, my words are strong, but I'm not that impressive in person. I hope it wasn't to prepare for this reading, but Friday night I was doing some work in the backyard and I got a sliver. It wasn't a whole thorn, but it's in my hand still now. It's bothersome. Paul had something greater than that. Paul had something that was very irritating to him, and at least 3 times, the Bible says, Paul went to the Lord to change this. John Chrysostom, St. John Chrysostom and St. Augustine say that 3 times doesn't mean a literal 3 times, but is an expression for many times, repeated times. Many times, says Paul, begged, that's the word, begged God to change something. I think it's safe to see had the potential to drive Paul crazy. Paul was a mighty worker of miracles. He had seen God do great things. God had saved him many times before, but God apparently was not saving him now. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. That was the message Paul got. How do you think he responded to that? There was part of him where that wasn't what he wanted to hear. But then he had the great step of faith to say that for God's sake, he would even boast of his weakness. Because when he was weak, then he was strong. Paul didn't get everything he prayed for. Not because God didn't hear, but because God had something better in mind. God always hears. Sometimes he says, my grace is sufficient for you. A parishioner sent me something by Rick Warren. Many of you might be familiar with his name. He is an evangelical minister. He's in the news a lot. He's one of the most prominent evangelical pastors in America. He wrote a very famous book, one of the bestsellers of all time, called The Purpose-Driven Life. It sold over 15 million copies. That's a lot for a religious book. And why I don't know everything that he says, but I have heard about, and I've read some of The Purpose-Driven Life, it's very good. Someone sent to me some comments he's made recently, and two things stood out. I've been thinking about these things all week. They dovetail nicely with the readings today. He and his wife were learning about weakness. His wife has cancer, and she wasn't getting better. They were praying for a miracle. He had seen many. They weren't getting a miracle. He was the pastor of a large church, a national figure. He had one of the most successful religious books ever written. He had more press exposure and speaking engagements than he can possibly handle. And his wife was very sick. Commenting on that dilemma, two things stood out. He said this, I recommend you remember it. He said, God is more interested in your character than in your comfort. That's real exciting, isn't it? But that's what he was learning. God is more interested in your character than in your comfort. God is more interested, he said, in making you holy than he is in making you happy. Can we all stand up and cheer? Now, these things aren't always mutually exclusive. That's not the point. But we're sometimes more focused on our comfort than on our character, or our happiness than our holiness. God doesn't always choose for us the easy way. God has a long-term vision. Character, not comfort. Holiness, not happiness. Does that help you understand sometimes the circumstances in your life and how God is working in them? He's more interested in your character than in your comfort, your holiness, than your happiness. That was the first thing. The second thing he says is you can focus on your purpose, or you can focus on your problems. Who here has some problems? Huh? It's really hard not to focus on your problems, isn't it? They can be things you've caused yourself. They can be things that are being caused outside of you over which you have no control. We can be pursuing God about them like Paul did. They can be a thorn in the flesh. But he says we can focus on the problems, or we can focus on God's purpose in our lives. What's God's purpose? Not to free us from problems, but that we might know him and love him and serve him in this life. And what? Be happy with him forever in the next. Your purpose is to enter through the narrow gate, to fight the good fight, to win the race, to keep the faith. There is at work in your life the unfolding of God's purpose for you. There is meaning in your creation. There is a role that you have in the plan of salvation. It's the key to understanding our lives. What is God's purpose at work in our lives? And sometimes problems are the very vehicle that he uses to unfold in a deeper way his divine purpose. If we have the faith to perceive it. Paul was not as interested in making Paul's life comfortable as he was in making Paul a man of character who was strong in humility and faith. And Paul responded well. Sometimes, in the unfolding of God's purpose, we just need to hold on. We need to hold on to Jesus. And that's the name of a song I'm going to play now. The song is called Hold On, an album called Where We Stand by Twyla Paris. It's a little holiday meditation on God being strong in us when we are weak, about God's grace being sufficient, about God forming in us His character, about His purposes unfolding in our life. Hold on.